live from the List Track Recording Studio. This is Email Marketing Today. Here are your hosts, Ross, Matt, and Brent.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to episode 19 of Email Marketing Today. With us here today in the studio is Chris Felpo. He's our special guest here, is our Director of Integration Services, and we're going to discuss some API aspects here today. How are you doing, Chris?
Really good, really good.
And as usual, we have Ross Kramer in the studio. How's it going, Ross?
It's great. Hello, Brent.
And we want to welcome all of our new listeners. We sent out a message out to our main List Track marketing list this past week, and we had a whole lot of new users come on board here and subscribe to the podcast. So,
for better or for worse.
So welcome, everyone. You know, this is episode 19, so you've got 18 episodes. You know, you can catch up on if you've got a very long car ride. Anywhere here in the next week.
It's good stuff. But I said for better or for worse because we had a little problem with our campaign this morning.
This is true. You know, even us industry, quote unquote, email marketing experts can make mistakes from time to time. We had an email go out this morning and the iTunes subscribe link was actually broken. It was the wrong link, and anyone that tried to subscribe was going to a page that said not available in the U.S. for some reason.
Where was it available?
I have no idea where that link came from. One of our listeners had actually emailed
Amanda from Nashua.
Thank you, Amanda, for letting us know.
And if you're listening before the mailman gets there, you will receive one of our free 1 gig List Track flash drives.
That's right.
For alerting us to that.
So thank you, Amanda. You know, we saw that was going on. As soon as we figured it out, we switched the link. So anyone clicking further went to the right link. And then what we did is we used dynamic profiling in order to take that list of people that had actually clicked. And we sent out an apology email and sent them the right link. And we noticed that almost everyone clicked through on that apology link. It was 44 addresses.
So just take us through that real quickly, Brent, how you did it in the app. Unfortunately, with the podcast, it's just audio only. So, but you didn't have to export the stuff out and re-import the import. Tell us sort of take us through the process.
So in List Track, on all of our reports, all of our contact reports that you're able to drill down to, we have dynamic profiling. And what that does, it just takes that batch of email addresses, that report, and it exports it as a specific profile segment. So you're able to segment on that report going forward. So basically what I was doing is I just clicked through to our message activity report where I saw the number of clicks that came through. I drilled down to that specific link. I clicked on that link and saw the 44 email addresses that had clicked through on that link, the broken link. Used dynamic profiling to generate that segment. Then we sent out a brand new email just specifically to that segment, to those 44 people, said, apologize, we saw you tried to click through on this link. Here's the right one. And it looked like it a success because most everyone has clicked through and subscribed.
It would be interesting. You know what? When we talk to Chris about the API, can you log into our account to see what the stats are on that apology email?
Sure.
To see what the opens, reads, and click-throughs on that apology email. Because, you know, we talked about mistakes a couple of weeks ago. In our episode on mistakes, and I had said we kind of given some evidence that had pointed to the apology emails getting a higher open rate, read rate, click-through rate, sometimes conversion rate than the original emails. so we'll present that in a bit. But if we do want to shift over to our special guest, Mr. Chris Felpel, Chris has really engineered our API from the ground up and has been supporting it now, heck, probably for the past seven years or so. And Chris, give us a little bit of rundown of what is possible through our API. How are our customers using our API? And you can feel free to get a little bit technical. We'll pull you back if you're throwing out too many jargons.
Well, that's an excellent question. There are really two different reasons why a customer would approach us to utilize our API. One of those reasons would be typically that we see quite often would be to integrate email marketing practices in with existing CRM systems, for example.
Sure.
I have customers, or excuse me, we have customers who have legacy CRM systems that help manage every aspect of a business as far as keeping contact information for customers up to date, that is then shipped over to ListTrack via our API. And we use that data then within ListTrack to send out campaigns, confirmation messages, you name it, the API is capable of doing it. That's just one facet I think the API is used in. Another facet that I see quite regularly, or at least that we come across quite regularly, is the aspect of actually changing the way ListTrack operates or functions for a particular client. There are times where we have bring new clients on board from that had at one time used another ESP, and they got used to, let's say, the way the reports that another ESP may have displayed data to them. Inherently, somebody we may or may not have some of those reports cooked into our application, but that doesn't mean that we can't develop a report using the API to fulfill whatever their requirements were. That's just one example in many different ways you can change the way the application works.
So the import and export is supported via the API, and then...
And that's probably one of the more popular, right, Chris, as far as the more popular uses for the API is just basically syncing up the import-export, syncing up your database internally with ListTrack automatically, not having to do the manual imports.
I would say 90% of the API implementations we have out there entail just that, clients shipping data over to us to their ListTrack account to keep profiling data in sync, subscriber stats in sync. So yes, that's the primary use for our APIs, keeping ListTrack data and client data in sync with one another automatically. So clients aren't going in before each of their sends and importing Excel files or text files and whatnot.
And I think one of the neatest pieces of powerful, you know, application architecture that the API supports is actually exporting all the unsubscribed data out, because there's a lot of different facets. It's not just people that click on the unsub button anymore, right?
Correct. And that's why you brought up a great point, and that's why we get involved as a service we provide. We get involved with the integration projects that our clients come to us with, because there are so many different facets with CAN spam and making sure that, like you mentioned, people's unsubscribes are filtered back to the other system that we're initially pulling data back out of, just to make sure that subscribers' wishes not to be contacted are retained in the system that we originally pulled data from.
And we're looking at different facets, you know, beyond the unsub link, such as abuse reports.
Correct.
So it's the feedback loops that we have in place. We're pulling those. What do we call the list unsubscribe header? As well, that's sort of kind of an unpublished thing, but something that happens in the industry. Heck, we'll take 2 minutes to talk about it, but this is a new feature that we put in a year ago or so. But we publish a special header in every message that we send out called List Unsubscribe. And a few major ISPs pick up on
mainly
it.
Mainly MSN Live Mail is the one that really picks up on it.
Speaking of which, do we have Bing Mail now? They're a little rat hole.
I don't know. Have they actually changed the brand?
There be Bing Mail?
They're changing the branding.
Good question. The search engine is really well, though. I'm a big fan of it.
Really?
I use it every day.
Really?
Yep.
About that?
Yep.
I did see a very interesting Twitter stream back and forth between a guy over at Google and the lead product manager with Bing.
Oh, wow.
It was very interesting going back and forth there.
Where do you dig that up?
That was main guy at Google.
Eric
Kutz. Matt Kutz.
Oh, Matt Kutz.
Yeah, Matt Kutz. Matt Kutz had a really interesting stream talking about some of the searches he was doing on Bing compared to some of the searches and what the relevancy of the results that you're seeing in Google. It was kind of interesting to watch that.
So anyway, back to the main story, but we've got abuse reports, unsubs, and then also the bounces as well, as people falling off of the list or being unsubscribed as, you know, due to bounces. And the API allows you to integrate a lot of that stuff to get that back into your CRM, so you can do a postcard follow-up campaign, or you can have your customer service reps be, you know, saying, "Mr. Kramer, I'm seeing that your email is bouncing. is this AOL account still valid?
Also can take advantage of things like Google Analytics integration and actually being able to pass your email marketing metrics out to Google Analytics.
Yes. Yes, that's also a possibility. With respect to the reports, generally speaking, most of your ListTrak reports are available via the API. So if you have some ideas on where you could use that data, or if you're the type of person that's regularly exporting a certain report and then importing it into a system that you have internally, you may want to give one of your account executives a call and pull us in to see if there's a way we can automate that process for you.
And I think the other cool thing that the API supports is deploying campaigns sort of in a headless fashion, so you don't have to actually log into ListTrak.
Yes, that's another aspect that the API is used quite frequently for. We do have a number of clients who process their orders daily, and then at the end of the day, they send out notifications to all their clients that their order is shipped or there was a delay of some sort.
Very cool.
So they also use that as an interactive messaging type system. It's automated.
And what type of technologies are you doing there? So you've got some content that you need to send mm-hmm. out. You've got a list of subscribers that you need to send out. Perhaps there's profile data. Give us a little bit of technical deep dive.
From a technology standpoint, I'm a big fan of keeping everything interoperable in that the technology that we support is, for lack of a better term, open source, in that our clients who have systems written in a variety of different languages, be it PHP, .NET, or even Java, can integrate these existing systems with us using what's called the SOAP protocol. It's a Simple Object Access Protocol. It's an industry standard that we have been utilizing, I think, for about 4 years. We switched over from an XML standard to SOAP protocol, which is still of the XML standard, but it's a little bit more flexible and gives us, as an ASP, the ability to provide even more features and better functionality.
And for anybody that's listening in the podcast wants to check out sort of what we've got, what our sort of exposed methods and mm-hmm. things are, we've got a website out there as well.
Yep. We do. It's webservices.listtrak.com. Typically what happens is we go through an integration implementation meeting to figure out what our clients' needs are. Afterwards, we develop processes or code examples of what it is, what methods they need to use to accomplish what business needs that they have. And typically, after a client becomes acclimated with our web services, they use that site as a reference to go back and add new features to their integration project or whatever it is that they may be utilizing.
You know, it really seems like we're getting more and more requests really all the time to integrate with the API. From my perspective, kind of a management perspective, we've surely embraced that and want to continue to embrace that.
We, last week we had kind of our ListTrak Conductor preview, and we mentioned quite a few features there. One of the features that's going to be available is a direct import from the API, a bulk load update. So you're going to be able to take people using the API, take contacts, and inject them into a conversation.
I think into a specific point into the conversation
in
as well.
In a trigger.
Mm-hmm. Multiple triggers, actually.
Yeah. So an example for that would be that, oh, you have a conversation set up to try to drive somebody to a live event, to the mall, where they have to fill out a contest or something like that, and you want all those people that have sort of filled out in an offline method to get further on down within your conversation, you would use the API to export it out of your CRM and
import them
into it. Further down the line.
Yeah, pretty much any event on your website besides the kind of the form submission that you would want to kick off a conversation for and hit a trigger, you could use this shopping cart abandonment, any kind of e-tail type tie-in to a conversation. You could use the use the API in order to pass those contacts through to a trigger.
Yes, yeah, exactly.
And what's the technical infrastructure that they'll use there, Chris, to do that sort of thing? From, let's say you've got, for us, we've got white paper downloads that we'll want to trigger. So, for example, if you download a white paper on deliverability, we're going to probably want to set up conversations that sort of drip out educational series about deliverability over a month's period. But how would you get them into the conversation with, via the API?
Via the API, that will actually, we're going to leverage some of our existing web methods that facilitate loading data into ListTrack, and we are going to extend those to include event-triggered IDs. So you would have, in ListTrack Conductor, you could define multiple triggers that are then defined in your import stream. So
yeah, it's actually an external event is how yeah, exactly. is what the yep. name of that is. So an external event is what you define, and
yes.
then you can use that.
And then that external event will be, a client will then insert that external event into their import file. And when ListTrack comes along, imports the file, it'll also see these external events and fire those as well.
And will you use web services to get the email addresses over, or do you use an FTP method to do that?
Web services. Everything, our integration really revolves around web services and SOAP. So that's a standard that we have adopted and our clients are really big fans of.
So probably not many people know this that are listening. My colleagues here, two of which that are in the room with me today, made me stop writing code somewhere around 2001. So back in the day, I would have sort of done sort of a query string type of thing where I would have hit listtrack.com or webservices.listtrack.com, signup.asp ?email address equals blah. Mm-hmm. And step ID equals blah. But that's not the way that it's done these days.
That is not the way it's done these days. But in some sense, it's actually easier than that, depending on the development language that you use. Once we are able to provide clients with a clear plan that accomplishes their business needs, depending on what tools that you're using to integrate with ListTrack, it's actually can be somewhat easier than that.
So we've got SOAP libraries built into .NET,
yes.
and PHP, and Ruby, and
all the above, all the above. And really, it's Java, even some of your Java development environments even have the SOAP protocol built right into the IDE, and the IDE is being the tools that developers use to develop languages. And that integration is so tight that our web methods that we publish are available within their IDE, which makes development much more quicker.
So you can see it right within the IDE.
Yep.
Now in Microsoft's IDE, which is Visual Studio.
Yes.
Do you even get tool tips? Do you get the little ListTrack drop downs as well?
You can.
Tool tips. What do you call them? Not tooltips, but the little stuff where it drops your typing and the different methods and properties drop down.
Oh, you're talking about the code tips. Maybe they're not called code tips. I know what you're talking about. I use it every day, and I should know what it's called. But with respect to that, one of the things that's on my personal roadmap is to actually export out or develop a plugin that will define not only just the web method, but what typically that web method is used for and how, more importantly, how to use that web method.
It's amazing to see that the technology has gotten there versus the old school where we would have a 200-page documentation that we would be paging through to try to understand.
Context help is...
there you go.
Contextual help is so much more opt to be used than a manual is because it's right there and you can right click and get definitions, and it's much nicer development using contextual help.
Yeah, no doubt. Very cool. Very cool. Other stuff that's on the roadmap for the API that any of our customers that are listening in can look forward to?
Enhancements. Really what I tend to do as a director of the API is I'm constantly having to stay in step with the other developers here at ListTrack. As they're developing new features, I also have to be cognizant of what those new features are and also on how to extend those new features so the people that utilize our API are able to benefit from the new features that the people that use the everyday app are able to benefit from.
Here's a good example of that with the ETM with ListTrack Conductor. We recognize the fact that we could really use a way to inject a large chunk of content and basically throw it away. Dynamic, basically dynamic content that we're pulling from out there on the web rather than in our content library, the way our dynamic content currently works. So Chris is researching right now and is looking into a dynamic content URL functionality. So to be able to actually pass off a link with a query string in order to return data back to ListTrack so that you could encompass some more transactional messaging within the system.
That's going to be a fun project. Yeah, that's not only going to be fun to develop, but I think there's going to be a lot of clients out there that will find many different uses for that. I'm really, really looking forward to that.
Yeah, for example, like your checkout process, you know, to actually inject your shopping cart right into the email. That's a great use for it. Go out there, grab it, put it in there. You only care about it on this specific email going out.
I think that's also going to speed some of the adoption of the usage of dynamic content as well, because I know we were very interested in making the process of loading content into the content library as easy as possible and making the workflow of that to work as quickly as possible. I know that we've got like the text part and the HTML part. When you load that content, it's literally a one click away to load that in. It's a one click type of step, but it is still a little bit more difficult and it's a little bit of a barrier to entry to get into that.
It's going to be easier to do it on a massive scale. So yeah. These people have bought that type of thing. You know, if you'd have that pre-made and generate that on your site.
Yeah, and your developers will be able to develop and publish the dynamic content parts out on their website in a language using an IDE that they're very familiar with and very comfortable with.
Yes. The really neat the neat thing from a client standpoint about this feature is the developers are not having your developers and designers to some degree aren't having to develop things twice. They can develop once, use many, use it on your website, and also use it within your email campaign. So once it's adopted, it is a time saver. Again, it's just a matter of implementing these new tools into your existing processes.
Another big project, the Salesforce piece that your team is working on, Chris.
Yes, some lofty goals that we want to reach with. We do have some items that we want to start taken care of as far as Salesforce goes with respect to hooking in your ListTrack account with your Salesforce account. Specifically, we're looking at wanting to make sure that our data, ListTrack data or your ListTrack campaign data is available within Salesforce and vice versa. Salesforce reports are available then within ListTrack, so you can actually use the power of ListTrack in conjunction with your Salesforce data.
Yeah, those Salesforce users out there that are familiar with AppExchange, we're working on an AppExchange package that will just make that easy.
Yes. I think the initial implementation will entail an AppExchange package that will allow our end users to link their ListTrack account with their Salesforce account. And then I'm thinking what we are an implementation that we're model that we're thinking of is using the Salesforce API is making reports then available within ListTrack. So you're not having to go back into Salesforce, let's say, and use our tool with inside Salesforce initially.
Often requested feature, and you know we've done some of this thinking in a manual sense. This is just going to make it nice and easy for anyone that uses that AppExchange to be able to link their account to ListTrack.
Oh yes, it'll user friendly. I think is a goal that not only I think for our front end application we try to keep in mind, but also for anything that we integrate with. We want to keep things user friendly.
Well, that's some really great feedback on the API. I think it's given our listeners a good glimpse into that. Again, if you want to get more information on that, check out webservices.listtrack.com. Then there's a feedback form on there that you can ask Chris questions. And Chris, really appreciate you taking the
thanks
time
Thanks for having me. I really enjoy it. It's a change from writing code for once.
And for anybody interested in the backstory, Chris's desk actually backs up here to where we record the podcast. So Chris actually hears most of the podcast right through the wall. But we appreciate him being on this side of the wall than the other side for sure. Now, Brent, how are we looking on the stats there? Can you give us a rundown on perhaps what the original campaign stats looked like.
Sure.
And how the apology campaign.
Yeah, so let's kind of, first, the apology campaign. When I mentioned earlier 44 links, what that really came down to, there were
44 clicks.
44 clicks. Out of those 44 clicks, there were a couple clicks that were multiple clicks. So it was really, it really came down to 33.
We call them happy clickers.
You know, fortunately enough, we were able to catch on pretty quickly, so we didn't have too many, you know, all that many people. But so we had 33 clickers in that apology email. Out of that, 19 of those people opened, 18 read, so that's 57.58% open rate.
And we count read as open for 5 seconds.
5 seconds or more, that's right. And then we had 10 clicks. So out of the 33, we had 10 click through, 21.21%. click-through rate.
Got it. And how about on the initial campaign? What were some of the stats on the initial campaign from this morning?
The open rate for the original email came out at 13.59%.
Okay, got it.
And the click-through rate, 1.41%.
Okay. I wasn't sure what the stats were going to look like, because for me, I think this podcast is a little bit of a long tail type of thing. You know, it's surely very high in the funnel or very low in the funnel. You know, it's either people that are, you know, really interested in us. Thanks, guys. We love you too. You know, or it's people that aren't our customer that are just interested in email marketing.
You know, we have our webinars, which are very formal, you know, very much kind of presenting information, PowerPoint, you know, very, very nice webinars. And we kind of use this forum for more informal.
Yeah. So I wasn't expecting a 5% or a 6% click-through rate. You know, in fact, I was even impressed with the click-through rate that we did get. And I'm ecstatic that all of the new users and listeners are listening in. So,
do we want to run the same contest as we did last week?
If anybody suffered through this whole podcast, I think the first three people that email us referencing episode 19 and the three free giveaway will send out a 1 gig list track flash drive to the first three people that send us an email to podcast@listtrack.com.
And even if you don't want the prize, email us. Email us with some questions.
Yeah.
We'd love to get some feedback. And, you know, it would be great to do a full episode of just pure questions.
Totally. podcast@listtrack.com.
Just wanted to mention next week, next Wednesday, we actually have our upcoming webinar with Mark Brownlow. I kind of see Mark as a kind of a rock star in the email marketing industry. A very, very, very popular blog. But he will... he'll be doing the webinar next Wednesday from 1 to 2. You can sign up for that at our website, and you can check out Mark's site at email-marketing-reports.com.
Well, another one in the can, Brent.
Yeah, and Chris, thanks so much for joining us here today.
Thanks for having me. Hopefully I can come back in and join you guys again. Maybe we'll talk about something different. Who knows?
Definitely.
Child raising.
Yeah.
Chris and I have kids 2 weeks apart. Give some tips on how to quiet a screaming baby.
Well, with that, we will see you all next time. Thanks for joining us here today. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.